Hello and welcome to Healing with Worth. Today we have a special episode for you. This is an episode that we did with Alana and Amy on the Choose to Be podcast. We had a great conversation, and you'll notice in this episode that we share a little bit more openly about our own personal experiences. And that's kind of the first time I think that we have spoken as much about our stories in one setting. So we hope that you enjoy this episode. And without further ado, here is our episode with Alana and Amy.
Welcome to the Choose to Be podcast. Thank you so much for joining our conversation today. We've got a special treat for you all today and two additional people joining our conversation with Alana and I. We have Janine and Naomi, and they are the hosts of the Healing with Worth podcast. We are so grateful that they've decided to join us in our conversation today. So Janine and Naomi are with the company Life Changing Services, and part of Life Changing Services, they have a program called the Worth Program, and it is designed specifically for women who are experiencing betrayal trauma. And it's an incredible program. If you have not heard of the Worth Program, please check it out. We'll put the link in the show notes. But the Worth Program has their own podcast, Healing with Worth, and these two are the amazing hosts of that podcast. So we are grateful that they're here to join us.
Thank you, Amy.
Thanks for inviting us.
Absolutely.
Naomi and Janine, you have been doing this podcast now for close to 2 years. And so I know you have a ton of episodes, you have a ton of guests. And we thought it would be so beneficial for our listeners to just learn a little bit about you two, what you're doing, how you got started. Before we go too far, can each of you just introduce yourselves to our listeners briefly?
Yeah, you bet. I'd love to. After 28 years of marriage, my husband was arrested on a drunk driving charge, and that kind of started the disclosure process of his secret life that he was having. And this, I thought I really had an ideal marriage. And what I found was that there was a lot that he was keeping from me. And so in uncovering, or in this process of him starting to disclose what was going on, there was about a year where we were dealing with legal consequences of his behavior. And then I would have thought, and also church discipline, disciplinary behavior. And I would have thought after all this blew over and subsided that our relationship would shift and change. And it really wasn't. And so I started having a lot more anger and resentment towards him and really started reaching out for help in trying to understand sexual addiction. And what I came across in my searches was Life Changing Services, and was really grateful because I think it just kept me, it not only informed me of the problems behind sexual addiction, but also helped me to become more aware of how I needed to take care of myself in this process and the process that I needed to go through to find support and healing. So that's my story in a nutshell. But it's so much more complex, and as I know, many women's stories are just more complex. So, but I have been so grateful that I have been able to find support in this particular organization because it's focused on the teachings of Jesus Christ from the perspective of members of the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints. And I felt like that was very important to me to have that anchor in my healing.
Absolutely. And for a lot of women, so I don't know if our listeners even know this, if I've mentioned this, but Amy and I both work for the Worth program. I'm the program director for it. So I'm really passionate about Worth and what's happening there. But that's something with the Worth program that a lot of women have found a lot of safety in, is going somewhere that brings in that religious piece, because especially for members of the church, there's these cultural aspects that aren't always understood, nuances that people don't always understand who aren't within that culture.
Yeah. And even the healing, there's a lot of cultural, church cultural aspects that we have that can be difficult to maneuver through in this healing process, because healing is very counterintuitive. Most of all, is that it's helpful because it's been helpful to me because I've been able to maneuver through those counterintuitive pieces and also the spiritual injuries that have come in our faith as well. Yeah. Does that make sense?
And I've noticed not even just whatever church you belong to or denomination, anybody who has that foundation in Christ, I have a lot of clients who want to hold on to those, to their relationship with Christ and their value system that they've established in their healing as well. So I think that's really important. I'm finding that a lot of women want it to, they're wanting that more. They're seeking out more of the help that helps keep them grounded to that value system, whatever church denomination they belong to. It's a really important piece for a lot.
And one thing I want to add on top of that too, is in my experience, even though there's tons of different religions out there, a lot of these religious cultural aspects, each one has its own little nuances, but a lot of the culture is similar across the board. And right. So that's why Amy and I can talk a lot about faith and religion and those pieces when we talk about betrayal trauma, because depending on whether you're Protestant, Baptist, Jewish, Mormon, whichever you are, a lot of the cultural pieces are actually fairly similar.
I think for me too, that it's been beneficial to be surrounded by other women too, who can step outside the culture and really take in some of these aspects that we learn about abuse and what that looks like. Because I think from a religious background, I really feel like it makes it a lot harder to see these other types of abuse, like emotional abuse and spiritual abuse and things of that nature. And so when you're surrounded by other women and you're learning from these women and learning these things, it's a lot easier to see. And there's a lot less judgment when it comes to what you're recognizing in your own relationships. And it's a lot more validating as well. So it helps to filter out some of that culture and bring in some of that reality. So
I love that. So Naomi, tell us a little bit about you.
Okay. So my story is a little bit different than Janine's in that I found out really fairly early on in my marriage. I found out probably about 6 months in that by confession that he was looking at pornography. And back at that time, I didn't know that addiction to pornography was even a thing. And so I went through my grieving process and talked to the bishop and thought that he would talk and it would be all over, but it continued. And I tried to do all the things that I think we want to do. You try to control it. You try to put passwords on. You try everything in your power to make sure that it doesn't happen. And he still found ways to do what he wanted to do. And it escalated. And I was of the mindset that this isn't my problem, so I don't need to do anything to fix it. It's your problem and you need to fix it. But I was just breaking down more and more. And our marriage was too. It just was dissolving. And I didn't want that anymore. And so I had a friend who told me about Worth and some other programs. And I started and I have never looked back. It has just been the biggest blessing in my life. It has taught me so much about my own healing. And I think that was a piece that I was missing for so long, because I thought it would all get better if he would just stop. And there was so much, there's still a lot of damage to repair, but I've come a long way in my own healing and my own journey through this. And I have just wanted to share that knowledge and get information out there, because I feel like if I had something early on, it would have given me more options to be able to find the help that I needed sooner, rather than waiting and for 13 years having this marriage just completely fall apart to the point where we are separated and working our own individual recovery, or at least supposed to be. I won't discuss his, but it has been a huge blessing for me, and it has really strengthened me in ways that I didn't know was.
So something you're saying, Naomi, is just hitting a chord with me. And I just love Well, both of you, Janine and Naomi, have said that I'm finding very common in this work, working with other women. And I love that this program that we have is called WORTH. That's what stuck out to me when I was tracking down some information. And it stands for Women of Rebirth Therapeutic Healing. But I love that it's WORTH, because what I'm hearing from both of you is, as you've done your own individual work, you have found your own worth and value, either again or maybe for the first time. And that's what I notice with women who are going through this, is as we really start digging and unpacking, it always comes down to their thoughts and beliefs about their own worth and value. And when we can start mending that, they just start clicking and in their healing. And it's just beautiful to see.
Absolutely.
I'm curious, with both of you, what was that thing that let you know that you needed to get help? Like, outside of just like reading books or listening to podcasts, what was that thing that said, no, I think I need a program or a group or a therapist?
Oh, I love this question. I didn't know you were going to ask it either. It was my anger. I stuck my fist through a frame that I had hanging on a wall. It was actually one of our marriage pictures, and I stuck my fist through it. And I, at that moment, I thought, yeah, I probably should reach out and get some help or figure out how to manage all this energy that I have inside of me.
Did that anger at all scare you? Like, to feel it and see what was there?
That's a good question. I would say it scared me, and that's very unusual behavior for me. And I think that was the scary part, is what other behavior is going to start manifesting itself if I don't deal with it.
I think so many women can relate to what you just said right now.
Oh, yeah.
I appreciate your vulnerability on that. Yeah.
I agree, Janine. I think anger was definitely, I had so much anger. 13 years of anger and pain and hurt. And I couldn't ever express it. That was the thing. My emotions were a trigger for him. So if I had emotions about any of the acting out that he was doing, it wasn't okay, because then it wasn't helping him to get any better. Those were the words. The way that you are reacting doesn't help me get any better at this. And so I felt like I had to shove everything down. I had nobody to talk to. I had nowhere to go to let that anger out. And the tipping point for me was finding messages that he was writing to one of my friends asking for pictures. And it wasn't even like naked pictures or anything, but just asking for pictures. And it was so wrong. And it was such a boundary violation of our marriage. And I just thought, enough is enough. I'm done doing this. I am done trying to teach you how to be in a marriage and to be respectful of me and my feelings and my emotions. And so that was my turning point, I guess you could say. And I did have some urging from people in my life that were like, if he's not going to get help, you should get help. My sister-in-law is probably the one person, when I finally did open up to her, she was the one that was urging me to get help for me, get help for me. And then a friend opened up to me about her spouse and introduced me to Worth. And so that was okay. It's time for me to take care of me, because at that point I just thought, this is over. I can't continue this way. Like, I will give him the option if he wants to work on it, but I have to take care of me now, because I was so unhealthy and there were so many things that I was doing to try and avoid him and the abuse that was happening in the relationship. And so,
yeah,
it's my turning point.
So many women think of this, it's time for me to take care of me, as they're abandoning their marriage or they're abandoning their partner. And the reality is, that's not the case at all. You taking care of you, for a lot of women, allows them the opportunity to even be able to stay if they choose to stay, or allows them that opportunity to get strong enough and leave. You taking care of you allows you to be the mother you want to be, the employee you want to be, the friend you want to be. But that this idea, this concept, can feel so much like you're abandoning your partner but you're not. You're actually giving the relationship a potential to last. You also said something along the lines, I don't remember your exact words, but something along the lines of, I can't teach you. I can't keep being the one to teach you. And so I'm going to ask you a question. Did that work for you? That 13 years of trying to help him get it, help him see, help him move forward. How did that work for you?
Oh my gosh. It didn't at all. It didn't. And I can't even say that it was all 13 years because there was a point in time where I realized nothing that I am going to do is going to help. And I think that was probably where the marriage just began disintegrating even more because I just gave up. And at that point, I feel like I made a lot of personal sacrifices I felt were personal sacrifices, which really, you know, as I've learned and grown, I realized that there was a lot of abuse that was happening. And those sacrifices were things that I didn't have to do, but I felt because I was married, I had to do those things. And so I think for me, it was something that once I realized it, I felt like it was just, it was up to him. I knew that he had to do whatever he was going to do. And I mostly stuck around because I had small kids and I had no worth. I had no self-worth to really feel like I could do it on my own. I had family, but I hadn't told them anything. I didn't feel like I could tell them anything. I knew that if I did, I felt if I did ever tell my family that they would certainly rally around me and they would get me away from him as fast as possible and they would help me. But I wasn't sure that was what I wanted yet because I just didn't have that worth in me to feel like I could do that.
Gosh, I can relate to that so much. That was my situation too.
Yeah.
And it was also like, I didn't want to burden them because then what? Okay, they'll get me out.
Right,
but
right.
Then what? And that's what happened is they did get me out once I actually did come forth. And because, you know, like you had your enough is enough. I had my enough is enough moment. And once that happened, yeah, I got out. And then there I was going, now what the hell am I going to do? I haven't worked. I've been raising babies and popping them out. What am I going to do with my life? It was so scary. And I see that happen with women. We stay because we cannot see past the next day of how we're going to do this alone. Mm-hmm. And that fear is debilitating. And that's one of the things that is so helpful working with someone is playing that fear out and showing someone, like, I wish I had this when I was going through it to show me, girl, you can do anything. Look at what you're capable of doing and show me, because you can't see it when you're in the middle of it.
No. And especially when you have young kids, because you're trying to care for little kids and they're dependent on you. And so a lot of your focus and energy is in your children. That's where I turned my energy to, is my children. And so my focus was them. Yeah. I didn't focus on me and I gave up a lot of myself to focus on them. And that just makes it a lot harder too, because then you start, if I leave, then they're going to suffer. Just all of those fears and insecurity.
Well, your identity is wrapped up in them now because you're focusing on them. So if the thought of you losing them is a possibility with leaving your spouse, you're losing your identity. And that's why it feels so like your guts are being ripped out of you at this idea of you might get 50-50 because your identity is in them. And so it's that shifting, coming back to who you are. And then it's that, okay, I think I can do this. Okay. Yeah. Might be nice to have a break every other weekend.
I know. Exactly.
Yeah. I love listening to this dialogue and it reminds me, okay, so I was in a training, not about betrayal trauma, having nothing to do with, it was actually with couples work. But as I was volunteering at this training, they were talking about trauma and impacts of trauma. And it was this passing side comment that someone had made, but they basically said that when you have a couple and when one of the partners does not have their own resources and ways that if the relationship were dissolved, that they knew that they would be okay, then it becomes that much more traumatic. And I thought about how there are so many women who haven't worked. They have worked, but they've worked in the home, or so many women who have earned less than their spouse. And this greater trauma of not just the betrayal trauma, which we talk about a lot on here, is very traumatic, but then this other piece of it, of not knowing what you can do and certain things, not even feeling like they're an option. And so feeling like you have to work things out or you have to stay because you don't know what else to do. Mm-hmm. A lot of times with clients, we will work on divorce has to be an option, because once that becomes an option, now you can actually choose to stay in your marriage if you choose to stay in it. But until we get to this place that you can be okay with or without them, then we're going to always have that imbalanced relationship.
Yeah. I love that you say that, because I think sometimes too, even when that is an option, there is still fear involved. And maybe fear is not the right word. I think there is still fear, and I think a lot more grief because of that just process of ending something that you hoped could be saved, but then you have to grieve that. And then there's that fear of not so much making it on your own anymore, but finding a relationship that will be what you want it to be, or not ever having another relationship.
That word, I think just that one word sums up betrayal trauma. The grief and the loss of what you thought your marriage was, the trust that you've lost, the relationship, having to rebuild it, the relationship as it was, even if it wasn't great, there's still that loss and grief. So as women are starting their journeys and they're getting to this place, like a question that came in recently was, what does it mean to do the work? How do I do the work? That's why I've asked that starting question with what brought you to even say, okay, I need to go do something. But as each of you have been on your own journeys in your own path, what have been some of the important pieces that you have learned? What are some of those nuggets that you wish you would have known in the beginning?
Pornography is so pervasive. And that was one thing that was really helpful to know, is that I am not alone. Boy, I'm telling you, there are thousands and thousands of women out there who are dealing with this. And we are the ones that are coming into the light about it. And one of the things that I just feel really passionate about is bringing this topic into the light, because the Savior cannot heal in the dark. We have to get into the light in order for healing to happen. And so that was one thing that I really felt was very helpful.
Did that play into you doing the podcast that you're doing now? Because what you're doing with the podcast is very vulnerable.
Yeah, I do feel like it was a place where I could bring this issue into the light, dispel some of the shame around it, because there's a lot of shame around it. When my husband was arrested, I was serving in a state capacity as a state young women's president. So that was a very highly, you know, visible calling. And boy, I'm telling you, shame was definitely there in it all. But what I realized years later, what I came to know years later, is that the women that I was serving with in the stake Relief Society president and the stake primary president were all dealing with this at that time. We just didn't know about it. We just didn't know each other's stories at the time we were serving with each other. Yeah, that was definitely one reason that I felt I wanted to do the podcast, was not only to dispel my own shame, because there's nothing like, you know, putting it all out there in the air for everyone to know, to get over your shame. That's building shame resilience for sure. But it was get the conversations going about this issue. Like, why are we protecting our husbands about this? Why are we suffering in silence? For sure. Yeah. I just feel so blessed to be able to do this, because I feel like it's given me a voice again. If I don't have a voice in my marriage, then I'm going to have in this realm of bringing light to pornography and how it affects spouses.
I love that. I agree. For me, It has definitely been a shame buster. But I think one of the things that I'm most passionate about that I think has been most helpful for me has been really learning about self-care and boundaries. Because I think everything comes back to boundaries and self-care. Like those are the nuggets that it really comes down to those. You can really narrow anything down to boundaries and self-care. And boundaries was something that I had, but I didn't even know what the word was, but they were never firm. And when I learned more about boundaries and started practicing it, the better I became at it. And I think boundaries is probably one of the things that I'm most passionate about because I have so many because they create safety for me and they give me the space to care for myself. They intertwine so much. And that has been really what has helped me to find myself again. I think so much time when I was just waiting for him to get it or to do something, I spent so much time, like we talked about, putting into my children and putting into a business that I was passionate because it was an out of my relationship.
Yeah.
And for me, once I got to a place where we separated, I quit my business. I didn't continue doing it. And I just cut back on just about everything that I could cut back on so that I could really start to take care of myself. I think I attended probably 4 meetings a week, just different meetings to really solidify some of these things that I was learning and try and understand and to have the validation and to have that those people that understood. And that was really helpful for me because it gave me the opportunity not only to have the safe space to do it, but also to learn about myself and to find things that I love again, find things that I really enjoy doing and to understand more completely my relationship with Jesus Christ. And I think that has been probably the most valuable lesson that I have learned through all of this is learning about my relationship with Jesus Christ.
So I'm curious, Naomi, for you and your decision to do this podcast, was that a hard decision for you to be so vulnerable with? How'd you navigate that?
It was super hard. I was like, do we have to show our faces? I don't know if I want to put my face out there. And even still, it is still really vulnerable and hard to do because I feel safe doing it with women who are experiencing it. I still don't feel quite safe enough to put it out there on my own Facebook page because I don't talk about my stuff with everybody. Even people in my ward, they know I'm separated. Some might think I'm divorced. Some might think that my husband's inactive. There's a lot of things that I'm sure people think. And I'm like, they can think whatever they want, but I'm not going to stand up in a meeting and explain my story to people because they haven't earned that right to my story. I don't want people who don't understand to make judgments about things that they don't understand. And so I feel safer doing it in an environment where people understand and want to learn and want to find help and support, because that's, I think for me, that's what I'm doing it for, is to put information out that's going to help other women who are experiencing this and maybe feel the same way. Like they can't talk to anybody. They don't have anywhere to go. But if this information is at least out there and they find worth and they come into a group, and some I've got to meet who found us through the podcast, and it just warms my heart because they've said that they are so grateful that they found the podcast. And so sometimes you do this work and you're like, I don't know if it's helping anybody. I don't know if anybody gets anything from it, but I just keep doing it because my hope is that somebody who is hurting, who is deep in pain like I was, finds the podcast and listens to it as much as they can and starts to feel like they can find help, they can find support, and they can find peace and healing.
Yeah, podcasts were actually one of those places that I turned to start understanding addiction. And funny story, I have to tell you this. When I was battling my experiences within the church and trying to understand the pain that I was experiencing and, you know, why I was experiencing certain things, and I wasn't happy with the way things turned out and didn't felt like it was very supportive of what needed to happen. And I was really very confused. And there was a podcast that I listened to from a woman who was validating the experience that I had within the church culture. And I was so grateful that she was in a place to be able to speak up about it, because it really bothers me. And it really bothered me at the time. And I've done a lot of work trying to understand and reconcile some of those hurts within the church, but it was through podcasts that I started learning and working through these feelings. Funny story, and this is the funny part of the story, is that my daughter ended up dating her son, and she was actually a member of Worth. And so I reached out to her earlier this year because I wanted to thank her, and I wanted her to know what an influence she had been in my life. Just that one podcast that she had done really helped me to know that I was not alone in my experience within the church. Yeah, it's interesting how, and she was actually a member of Worth at one point. And so it's interesting how we really help buoy each other up through this experience.
And there's not enough women doing that. And I think that's why Alana and I are doing this, right? Like, I know, and I've often asked myself, would I be just as vulnerable if I was still married to my ex? Because I am divorced, and I don't know if him and her family know I'm doing this, and I don't care, but I wonder if that would change for me, because I am so bold and just, I don't care. You think what you want, even in church and with people. I put it on my social media because I didn't have anything. There was nothing offered to me way back when. There was no podcast. There was like the term betrayal trauma, I think, was barely becoming a thing. And I remember telling God in my journey, like, my bishop gave me one book. Thank God I had an amazing bishop who found one book. And that was my aha, holy crap, this is what's been happening moment. But I told God, I was like, if you get me out of this, here I am, I'm bargaining. Yes, I bargain with God. If you get me out of this, I will use me up. I will help other women, because like, I have had nothing. And obviously my family supported me, but no information, no knowledge about what we all know. And so I feel your passion, and I'm so grateful for your passion to do this and your vulnerability to do that. And Alana and I both we feel the same way. And that's what gets us to do our show every week as well, because I would have loved to have something like this. I would have loved that validation, because I felt so crazy and broken and weird and stupid and all kinds of things.
Yeah.
So grateful for women who do speak up. I know everybody doesn't, like, everyone's to his own, right? Each to his own. And some women don't want to share. I just want to do like a shout out. If you have ever had the thought cross your mind at all to share your story with someone else, another woman, I am going to encourage you to revisit that thought if you haven't done so by now, because it can change her entire world by just knowing she's not alone.
Can I tell you something about that? So I often, if I do share anything outside of podcasts in the safe circle, it has been so inspired by the Spirit, because I was taking a class, and it was an online class, but we had to meet for this like end of class thing where they ask questions and then the teacher gives answers. It was supposed to be this discussion. And I think it was a marriage class. And the question got brought up about pornography. And as I was thinking, like, they wanted the students to submit questions. And I was thinking, should I ask a question? And I was like, I've got resources. I don't really have a question. Like, I understand what's going on. Well, the question did come up. Somebody did ask the question about how they're supposed to trust their husband when their husband has been viewing pornography and things like that. And so the teacher was a therapist, and a student put something out there that was totally like not helpful at all. And the teacher did come back and say, actually, it's more complicated than that, because the comment was something like, you just have to let them and have compassion and all this stuff. And anyways, the teacher, yeah, I was like, I was getting ready to like, oh no, she didn't just say that. But the teacher came back and responded appropriately and just expressed that it's not as simple as that. It's more complex, especially when you're in a marriage relationship and things like that. And the spirit just prompted me to speak up. And so I did, and just gave what I could about talking about trust and forgiveness. And then I put information in the chat for whoever, because they were anonymous questions. And I put information in the chat. And then I was terrified to even do it, because, but then I was thinking, nobody in here I'm ever going to see again. This is the end of this class. It's over. And then later on, we made some connections through people in Worth, and that the whoever asked the question was like looking to find me after class and thought that I was like a special guest that came on just to answer this question. And I was like, nope, I'm just a student too. And so
a special guest from the Worth podcast, right?
Yeah. But to that, to speak up when you're prompted to, it gave her a resource and information that helped her to find Worth and to find resources to help. And I might have never known that had we not had this other connection that was able to bring it all together. But that's one of those things that I don't know who I'm reaching, but I hope that I'm reaching somebody who finds support and who finds strength in the messages that we have to share.
I will just add to that, that the first time I actually told my story to someone, there was a huge physical burden that was lifted from me. For sure. I felt a physical reaction in my body. It felt so good to be able to tell that first person. And then the second person was a little bit easier to tell than the first person and the third person. And now it's, I don't have a problem really telling anything with the people that have earned the right to hear my story and to hear parts of my story. I don't have a problem with that. It's very cathartic. And that is one blessing that I think this podcast has really helped me with, is that's the one word I would describe as cathartic, very healing for me, because each podcast, there's a little bit more of my story that's revealed.
I agree. And I think too, that was probably one of the most powerful things when you first start getting help, is sharing your story and sharing it in a safe environment. And I think that is what gives courage to share even bits and pieces when it's safe to do. That really helps to lift those burdens, not just off of my shoulders, but off of others who may be silently suffering.
I know that we have listeners who are listening right now who are still silently suffering, and where you still have what feels like the weight of the world on your shoulders. And so Janine and Naomi, both of you coming and being vulnerable and sharing your stories and sharing of yourself in this, it's a gift to our listeners. It's a gift letting them know that they're not all alone, and really that they can move forward and they can find those tools and they can find that support system. Because when you find that, man, yeah, like a weight is lifted. And you can heal and move forward no matter what your spouse is doing. You can't fix the relationship on your own, but you can heal and move forward. So just thank you both for coming today. Thank you for your vulnerability. You're welcome back anytime. Amy and I are always happy to have you. And again, for our listeners, if you want to listen to their podcast, it's Healing with Worth. And thank you all for just being part of our conversation today. And we'll see you all next week.
Thank you for joining us on the Worth Podcast today. Again, if you enjoy listening to this content that we're sharing, please go over to Apple Podcasts and give us a rating. We would love to hear your feedback and anything that we can do to improve or answer any questions that you might have. Thanks for listening, and we'll see you next time.
Thanks for joining us this week on Healing with Worth. Make sure to visit our website, healingwithworth.org, if you would like to enroll in an online therapist-led support group. We'll see you next time.